Carrying on in Ephesians chapter 6, we've dealt with the armor of God. Not just the practical application of that. How do we remain strong and firm in the Lord? How can we carry on standing firm? I use a quote from a man with religious doubts to highlight how profound scripture is and how even in the midst of unbelieving thoughts, there's still an element of truth. Mark Twain said, the two most important days in your life, firstly, the day that you were born, and secondly, the day that you discover why. I thought there was another quite important day, and that's the day that you die. But I'll leave it at those 2 days, the day that you were born and the day you discover why. Because your purpose in life, the encouragement that you get, the motivation that you have to keep going through trials and difficulties, your tenacity, your hope, your future lies in the why questions of life. One of the chaps that I phoned this past week used to be one of the officers in the church denomination. Lost his son. I think his son was about 23. Finished his studies, went over to the United States, got a job. And he died in a four-wheeler accident. Still doesn't have the answer to the question, why, Lord? Why was my son taken away from me? Or a girl saying, why was mom's boyfriend so heartless as to rape me when I was young? Don't always have those answers to the why questions. Why was I ostracized? Why was I sidelined? And I became the one who caused trouble when all I was doing was trying to help. The difference between the Christian and the unbeliever is that when we get to those why questions, the believer says there's a reason. We might not have the reason, we might not know, but we're not left to random chance or inevitable fate. We live in a senseless world, but with a God who knows what's happening and why it's happening. Imagine if you were to find out that every trial that you faced, every temptation, every trouble, every ache and every pain, every distress and sadness had a purpose. And as Major was saying yesterday, it's not random chance that we're just in the right place at the right time or in the wrong place at the wrong time or at the right place at the wrong time or wrong place at the right time. There is a reason because we've got a sovereign God who is over all things and everything. In our lives, down to the smallest detail, is perfectly orchestrated by a God who is a loving Father who loves you and cares for you. And you're not just strapped to some nightmare of a painful roller coaster that just carries on for 70 years. You're not just involved in sporadic disappointments and occasional tests. But where some people look at, this is the devil trying to pull me down. Other people are looking at exactly the same problem and saying, this is the loving hand of a gracious Father and he's trying to build me up. And as long as we see this as devil trying to pull me down, we try to circumnavigate all those disasters in our lives and say, I don't know why it's happening to me. I don't know what's wrong with this world. I don't know what's wrong with life. Sick and tired of asking God for answers. Whereas the person who sees a loving Father who's trying to build us up and give us the defense mechanisms to keep going and keep standing in the midst of all the trials will say, I'm not going to try and dodge these issues. The pitfalls of life, the hardships that I face are given by a compassionate Father who wants me to grow, who encourages me day by day. And instead of trying to avoid these difficulties at all cost, saying, God's trying to make me mature, growing me in the faith, giving me reason and understanding and love and maturity as I experience these hardships. And so I thought of the battles that the Major faced. And I'm very grateful that the Lord has given us armor. He's given us a Panzer car. And this Panzer car is there just to make us stand. And it hasn't got one forward gear and six reverse gears so we can get out of situations quickly, which is what we try to do when we face hardships. But he's given us the armor to make us stand firm when troubles come our way, and in the end, to stand. And so we looked at the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet fitted with radiance, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And all of that is under the umbrella of prayer. So I've got the passage up on screen because I think it's important. And I want you to see the importance of prayer in everything that Paul is saying. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, keep alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me. Two verses, and he's mentioned prayer four times. Clearly, this is important. Those are just the verses at the end of the book. He's told the Ephesians already that he's been praying for them. In chapter 1, he prayed that their eyes, the eyes of their hearts may be opened. In chapter 1, verse 16 and 18. Chapter 3, he prayed that God would strengthen them by his power, that they might be able to see how extravagant God's immeasurable love really is. And he shared his prayers for the church in Ephesus, and now he's saying, I want you also to pray for me. What's prayer got to do with standing firm? Doesn't mean if we pray, we'll get an answer, and God will say, all right, please understand, this is your life mapped out. You are over here. You're still going to go through these things. So God doesn't do that, fortunately. I don't know that I'd be able to stand if I were to know what's happening tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. How would Megan have known that she was going to crash her car last night? Going to fetch her husband. How would we be able to cope with all of those things? No, we're not told that prayer is going to give us all the answers that we want. But we are to pray and keep praying, standing firm. As we looked at the word pray, just have a look at the word all. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Don't stop. Keep going. When you put on your body armor in the morning and you go out to the spiritual battle that we're all going to face in the day, are you doing that in prayer and saying, Lord, I know that my salvation is going to be questioned and I need that helmet. My righteousness is going to come under attack. I need the breastplate. I need the faith. I need the shield to protect me from Satan's arrows. I need feet that are fitted with readiness. I need the word to protect me and to ward off the attacker. There might be an occasion where you need to take a whole day off just to go and pray. On all occasions, in all ways, for all people. Maybe you're not as fortunate as to take a whole day off. Maybe you're wondering what to do with this public holiday that's coming up. You say, Lord, I don't have time to spend hours in praying, but we can make time. We can make all sorts of occasions. How many of you travel down to Durban regularly? When you go down to Durban, you're frustrated because there's another accident, another holdup. What a time to pray. Generally, you're trying to get out of the way of other people who are trying to sneak in front of you, getting more and more frustrated. I don't know how many times I've passed an accident and there's a body that's completely covered. I thought, just like my friend who lost his son, saying goodbye to him at the airport, he never knew that he would not see his son again. And there is somebody's mom or dad or husband or wife or somebody's son or daughter And here I am getting frustrated that I'm not, another 15 minutes, another hour, another 2 hours is added to my journey. And they will never see their loved one again. Lord, please, would you be with their loved ones? I don't know who they are. I don't know where they are. I don't know if this person was saved or not. But Lord, I'm praying for that person's family. There are formal times. Where times like that is standing up here and having prepared his prayer. It's a formal time of prayer, praying on all occasions. There are some extemporaneous prayers, prayers that you haven't prepared, that you just pray on the spur of the moment or in a prayer meeting or in a missionary prayer meeting or other specifically focused prayer group. Sometimes you just sit quietly. You might be in the prayer meeting and you don't say anything, but you're praying along with people. And as Dallas was praying, I hope it wasn't just him in front of you just carrying on. I hope you were praying with him on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. That prayers aren't focused only for those crisis moments where nothing else is working and I don't know what else to do. Lord, help us. We're going to drown. But it's coming before the Lord with all your worries and your cares and your dreams and your aspirations. And it's Lord saying, Lord, here I am. I've got all of these and I want to present them before your throne, knowing that in your eternal wisdom, you're going to give me strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Lord, I'm coming to you not to solve my mysteries. God hasn't promised that he's going to give you the end result and say, this is what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks, 10 years or 30 years. But God has said, ask today for your daily bread. Give me strength for today. That's all I'm asking. Tomorrow's another story. Next week is beyond my comprehension. Lord, just help me to understand when everything else seems counterintuitive that you as a loving father will not give me a stone when I ask for a piece of bread. You will not give me a snake when I ask for a fish. The only way that I can stand firm today is because you are with me. Praying on all occasions. Second point, following on from personal prayer, is proclaiming the gospel. I think you've got a lot in common with Paul. I don't think you like telling other people about your faith. I think you feel a little bit scared, a little bit intimidated at times. It's a little bit fearful to speak to others about Jesus Christ. Here I've got in my mind this great big apostle who would speak to kings and emperors. He spoke to governors. He faced rioting mobs in Ephesus. He spoke to the ship's crew in the middle of a storm and told them that, from the Lord, that nobody would lose their lives if they remained with him and stayed on board and trusted the Lord. He was in prison and he was told if he was released, don't ever preach again. And here is this magnificent guy in my mind who really has no problem in telling people about Jesus. And yet he writes these words. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. It's Paul. Paul is saying, I want to preach the gospel fearlessly. In other words, there's a tendency that I have to be fearful from time to time. Pray that God would make me fearless. Deep down inside, he's still afraid. Not just afraid of people, but afraid of situations. We read in Acts 20 when he went to the Ephesian elders. He said, I know I'm going to Jerusalem, and I've been assured that all that is waiting for me is hardship and persecution. Phenomenal. He doesn't say, please ask God that I won't face hardships. He doesn't say, please pray that I won't be tortured or tempted to give up. What is his basic prayer in Ephesus? That I might preach the gospel fearlessly. He's going to face death It's more than an idle threat.
He knows he needs to strap that armor on.
Something that I've used is a Puritan by the name of William Gurnall. And that's 14 verses of the Bible. That's 1,200 pages, and it's entitled A Modern Abridged Classic. That's the abridged version, 14 verses. Gurnall knew what it was about. And Gurnall writes in volume 3. I haven't read the whole thing. And if you want to download it on PDF, it's on Monergism. So you can download the whole 1,500 odd pages. But he's got 300 references to prayer. This is what he writes about faith, though. In volume 3, Gurnall says, faith may live in a storm, but it will not suffer a storm to live in it. As faith rises, so the blustering wind of discontented, troublesome thoughts go down. In the same proportion that there is faith in the heart, there is peace also. They join together. Quietness and confidence. From Isaiah 30, in returning and rest, ye shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence, ye shall be your strength. And therefore, there's peace in believing. It's knowing that total, transcendent peace that passes understanding when you proclaim the gospel. Pray that I might declare it fearlessly. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. But as the writer poetically reflects in his hymn, and when the fight is fierce, the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song. Our hearts are brave again and arms are strong. Hallelujah. Pray for perseverance in proclaiming the gospel. Added to that, there's accountability. And this is about Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord. And he's going to tell the church in Ephesus everything that Paul has said, everything that Paul is doing. Tychicus was the sort of advanced mission as he went from Troas, from Macedonia to Troas on the way, called the elders together. Now, some 4 years later, this brother and the friend of the apostle, Paul, is saying, I want my faithful brother to tell you what I'm going through. When you read Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Timothy, we imagine Paul to be sitting in a nice little comfortable sunny room saying, dear church in Ephesus, I'm writing to you to encourage you because times are hard. We don't think of him as being in the house arrest. We don't think of him being dragged out of his environment to be beaten once again. We don't think of the death threat over him. And yet in the midst of all that, Paul is saying, I'm thinking about you. You're not out of my mind. Remarkable that this apostle, with all the other burden and all the other trouble and everything else that's on him, is thinking about the church. If you're anything like me and you're going through a hard time, which is generally when I tend to pray a little bit more diligently and for a little bit longer, because I don't know how I'm going to endure the hard time, I don't know how I'm going to get through it. That shows how shallow I am. Paul, in the midst of all his trouble, is not worrying about himself. He's worrying about the church. The burden of the congregation is far more important than his own little pitiful self in a prison. How much growing I need to do. I tend to become introverted. Oh, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go and eat worms. And Paul says, I'm worried about you. Ask Tychicus. He's coming. He'll tell you what my concerns are for you. I'm sending him to do this for his very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. There's accountability, as Paul says, I'm not only accountable before God, I'm accountable to my friends, my family, my beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord. From a human perspective, my pristine life, my religious observance of Pharisaical laws was worth nothing to Jesus. It is by grace I've been saved through faith, not of myself. It's a gift from God. Nothing that I can boast in at all. I want everybody to understand that this transformation that had happened on the Damascus Road so many years earlier was because of God's love, because he's a father who loves me and cares for me. I can give nothing more than my whole life and everything that I am because he really loved me. And if you want any confirmation of that, I'm sending Tychicus to you. He can tell you that I've put on my armor, I'm standing firm, and I want you to follow my example. I want you to stand firm with me in the gospel. Just as I close, I thought, what I really need to do is I need to bring this home. And I want to show you how Jesus lived this out. How Jesus was able to stand firm. How would a man who knows that he's going to the cross cope? I don't want to know when I'm going to die. I don't want to know how I'm going to die. I'm going to leave that with the Lord to say, John, I'll tell you when you're good and ready. But here we've got our Messiah saying, I am going to the cross. I'm going to be betrayed by the chief priests and leaders, teachers of the law. How on earth would he be able to go fully confident that the Lord would be his strength? John chapter 12. Now my heart is troubled, Jesus said. What shall I say? What should he say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason that I came to this hour. And so his prayer was, Father, glorify thy name. You want to see how shallow your ministry is? You want to see how shallow his prayers are? When I come to a troubled time, I could say, now my heart is troubled. What should I say? Father, please stop my enemy from attacking me. Father, please release me from the burden of the responsibility that I have. What should I say? Father, take me away from this world. I can't cope anymore. No. Following the example of Jesus, Father, what should I say? Should I say, save me from this hour? No, for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Oh God, glorify your name through my hour of trouble. For this very reason I've come to this point with these people in my life. Oh Lord, help me to stand firm. And so fixing the spiritual armor in place with prayer. We not only rejoice in the Lord when we have a good time, when the streamers are going and we're saying, God is good. It's when we have a cut in salary. When we get news of a loved one passing away. When everything goes wrong in the day and we feel like giving up. You see, your armor is never tested when your enemy is 2,000 kilometers away. Your armor is tested in the midst of full-on battle. We need God's protection when we're praying, when we're proclaiming, and when we are being held accountable. Two most important days of your life, the day in which you were born and the day in which you find out why. And you might never find out why. Except that there is a God who knows you, who loves you, who cares for you, who protects you, who stands by you, and who has a reason in the middle of I don't know territory. And in the midst of the I don't know answer, you've got a God who does know. And we trust in him. At those times, we need the full armor of God. Let's pray. You have the words of eternal life. Where else shall we go, Lord?
Would you encourage us today?
Give us your peace and your rest, because you alone are able to do that. As we continue asking questions of our own lives, the lives of those around us, we ask, Lord God, that you would be gracious and you would give us the ability to stand, praying in all situations, on all occasions.
Would you allow us to be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints, and that you would allow us to open our mouths, that we would fearlessly make known the gospel, or the mystery of the gospel. Pray that we would declare it. We pray that we would declare it fearlessly, O Lord, as we should, for Jesus' sake.